this summer, we're going to start a sermon series in Ephesians. And so what a great, great book of the Bible. I wanted to kind of just bring us some, really some foundation, some foundational in church. And so as we go through this summer, we're just going to, it may be a little hit and miss with things happening throughout the year and or throughout the summer. But Ephesians is a fantastic book that I just thought we should study. We should kind of dig deep. And so the idea here, I want to bring kind of a little bit of history and some context for us this morning, and then we'll dig deep into chapter 1. But so the idea here is this is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the church in Ephesus, and this was he was writing this letter later on in his ministry. We're told that he was in prison. He was imprisoned because he was a prisoner for the gospel of Jesus. He was just a man that was a little bit, I think he was kind of a, they call him an apostle. What that means is just somebody wants to continue to advance the gospel. He would do anything to make it happen. So Paul was just a fantastic guy, but I think he was a little off. You know, you have to be, right? You have to be a little bit crazy. And the Apostle Paul, I think, was a little crazy because he didn't care what people thought about what you're supposed to do and all of the things. He just wanted to make sure that people were getting saved and that churches were being planted. And the church in Ephesus, he was the church planter there. He started the church. And so he was an apostle. We hear that word all the time, the word apostle. There's modern day apostles, those people who just want to see the gospel advance. And so he was an apostle. So he wrote this letter to his church plant. Okay, so kind of give you some really real words. We call it an epistle, the book of Ephesians, but it's simply just a letter. It's a letter to his church plant that he had planted earlier on in one of his missionary journeys. And so this letter was to Ephesus. This was like modern-day Turkey. This is kind of where it's at, just to kind of give you some backstory. I won't bore you with all of that other stuff of when it was written. You guys can Google it if you're really, really interested in all of those dates and times. But see, the idea was that there was such a purpose. The purpose of this was to let his people, let the people, the church, understand that there's a plan. There's a plan of God. And that the purpose of the book was multiple fold. Was to remind the Ephesians of the blessings they have in Christ Jesus. It goes on and talks to about encouraging them in his prayers. Paul talks about the nature of the church, and he wanted to challenge them to live as good Christians, and then to prepare them, of course, for spiritual battle. So we're going to kind of dive into the book of Ephesians this summer. I encourage you again, it's a simple read, it's an easy read. By the time we meet together next Sunday, I would encourage you to read the entire book. Just read it. It's 6 chapters. Just read it in its entirety so that you'll have a little bit of a familiarization of what is going on. I'm going to talk about chapter 1 this morning, just really kind of understanding and opening it up and developing. So if you want to turn with me to chapter 1 of Ephesians, we also have it on the screen. Let's start with verse 3. It says, "All praise to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ." Verse 4, "Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son." So I want to stop there. The plan of God, this, like Paul is just illustrating the purpose, the plan of God from the very foundation, from the beginning, and let us realize that we are not a mistake. Like we're not a mistake, that God has a plan. God's plan is amazing, and it just didn't happen just because, but God is sovereign. God has a purpose. He has a plan. And so this first chapter, this first part talks about how God's sovereign choice, the predestination of believers according to his will, there's tension, you see, that Paul is bringing up between the sovereignty of God. You guys know what that word means. It means the all-knowing, the all-power, the understanding that God is everything, the sovereignty of God, and the responsibility of humanity. So it goes hand in hand, this Christian walk. God is sovereign, and he has a plan, he has a purpose, and yet there's a responsibility between us as humans to do our part in the relationship with God as well. I mean, think about it. Any relationship you have, whether you're married, whether it's a child relationship, whatever kind of relationship with it is, it goes both ways. So you can try as hard as you can in a marriage, but if your spouse is not trying, it just doesn't go anywhere. And so there's that responsibility that goes hand in hand. God's sovereignty, understanding that God has a plan for us, but yet our purpose in it as well. But however, God's grace operates apart from human merit. So it's not that God's grace is applied because of what we do. No, God's grace is already there. And Paul is talking about this tension between the two. Even before, verse 4, even before he made the world, God loved us and he chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. So what this really means, what Paul is saying is that the understanding is that we're orphans. You and I, humanity, us, we humans, we are orphans. You know what that means, right? We are without a home. We don't have a mom and dad. That's what an orphan is, for those of you little ones in the room. An orphan is one who has no parents. They've been left. And so we are like orphans, but God the Father has said this. He said, even before you were born, God's plan for you was to be welcomed into his family. Even before you were born, his plan was to adopt you, to bring you into his home. Is there anybody adopted today? Anybody adopted in the room this morning? Yes, I see that hand back there. What a beautiful thing. I'm not going to embarrass Kimmy today and have her come up and share her story, but I'm telling you what, God has a plan for Kimmy. God has a plan for Kimmy, because you know what happens when we can understand what adoption means? Is that we were orphaned, that something in our lives had taken place, unfortunate. Someone, somewhere, a mom and dad has come next to you and embraced you and says, take my last name. Take our family as your family. We are now your father, your mother. And it's a beautiful thing. And God has done that to us. Each and every one of us. We were orphaned because of our sin. We were orphaned because of humanity made mistakes. But God has chose us to be holy and without fault through the blood of Jesus Christ. So today, you're not a mistake. Turn to somebody and look at them and say, you're not a mistake. Yeah, you can do that right now. Just say, you're not a mistake. You're not a mistake. Because it's a beautiful thing that God has chosen us. He's adopted us as orphans. So God has a plan. God has a plan. And he also, God had the Son purchase the church, the purchase. Let's read on. In verse 7, it says, he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered us, he has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. And so, understandably, that God has purchased you. So you know the whole adoption thing? You know that that Jessica knows, it's not cheap. The whole foster care system, the adoption process, all of that stuff, it's not cheap. God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, has purchased you. He has paid your reward. He has simply said, I'm going to be kind, even though this person does not deserve it. And so, I want you to know today that you're valuable. You're valuable. You know, there's not a lot of people that share that with you today. There's a lot of people that go on through life and simply think that they're worthless, they're good for nothing. But I want you to know today that you are valuable. God himself has purchased you with a price. And so we thank God for that. This portion in verse 7 through 10, it lists the various spiritual blessings that believers have received in Christ. And those words like adoption, redemption, forgiveness, it's a beautiful thing. So today I want to encourage you, if you're feeling alone, if you're feeling doubtful, if you're feeling worthless this morning, I want to encourage you that you are of value, that God is so rich in kindness that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, and forgave our sins. And so these blessings transform us as believers and give us an identity, and it empowers us to live out our faith, that Jesus Christ is the focal point of God's plan for salvation and reconciliation. And so Christ's role as the head of the church, it emphasizes the unity that we have with God. That unity, again, once we were separate, we were orphans, but yet God decided to purchase us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Thirdly today is the promise. The promise. God the Spirit is the one who has been promised to us. Verse 11 through 14, verse 11. Furthermore, because we're united with Christ, we've received an inheritance from God. Wow. Let me just pause there. Because we've been purchased, due to the plan of God, we've been purchased through the blood of Jesus Christ, we now have an inheritance from God. I'll move on. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. Verse 12, God's purpose was that we, the Jews, who are first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles also have heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. Verse 14, the Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance. Let's just bask in that really quick. I underline that, by the way. Verse 14, the Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us this inheritance he promised, and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so that we would praise and glorify him. So if you're going out, if you're going to buy a new car, if you're going to buy a new house, right? The good thing is that in society today, you need a down payment, especially if you're going to buy a house. You need a down payment. I mean, the people need to know that you're serious about this house. The people, the lenders, the sellers, they need to know that you're serious about buying this house. And so what do? You put a down payment. You simply say, yep, here's my down payment in order to reserve this house. I love how Paul writes this in chapter 1, verse 14. It says, the Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us this inheritance. You guys know what the inheritance is? Like, what's the gift? It's eternal life. It's heaven. God has given us eternal life. And so I use Kimmy as an example. Kimmy has an inheritance of mom and dad. She's been adopted. She's no longer someone that doesn't belong, but she's a family member. If you've been adopted into the faith, if you've been adopted by the Father, if you've been purchased for by the blood of Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son, God had put a deposit on you. He's put a down payment on you. Did you know that? He said, I'm serious about this guy. Takes out his wallet, gives you the Holy Spirit. You see, God has put a down payment on us because he wants us that much. This is what it says in the Bible. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised, and that he has purchased us to be his own people. You're that important. You're that important. And so the Holy Spirit is with us. The Holy Spirit is God's down payment. The Holy Spirit is God's guarantee. So guess what happens when we grumble, when we complain that, oh, I don't feel God's Spirit in my life, or I don't know who God is anymore, or I've just been so distant from God. Remember that He's given you a down payment. He's given you a promise. He's given us the Holy Spirit for us to understand who He is. So as Christians, when we grumble and complain that we don't feel God, when we grumble and complain that oh, I don't know where God is, I just don't find him, I don't feel him in my life, we need to tap into the guarantee, the Holy Spirit. God has given us and blessed us with his presence. And you too, Christian, you can tap into the power of the Holy Spirit as that guarantee, the down payment that God has given us for us. And so Paul continues on in verse 15, and he says this: ever since I first heard of you, your strong faith in Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you consistently, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you may grow in your knowledge of God. Again, Paul is just simply saying, hey, church, listen, I'm just praying for you guys. I'm praying for you. I'm pulling for you. I want to encourage you. And he kind of goes on and talks about the encouragement that is received from God. I'm going to invite the band to come on up this morning. And I want this to be a time for us to give thanks to God. I want this to be a time and a moment for us to just really, really tap into what God has for us as we learn about Ephesians chapter 1. As we understand, number one, that God has a plan. God has a plan for humanity. That plan includes you. The plan is that Jesus Christ had come and purchased you, because you're worth it. He gathered you. He said, I want you to be in my family. And I'm gonna overlook all of the baggage and the burden that you bring with you because you're so valuable. And he said, by the way, if you don't believe it, just because you've never seen Jesus before, just because you've never seen the purchase that he's purchased you with your physical eyes, God says, I'm gonna show you I'm serious, and here's a down payment. I bless you with the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit lives and breathes and resides within us. And that's God saying, I'm serious about you. I'm dead serious about you. I love you so much. I want to breathe my very self within you, called the Holy Spirit. So today, I don't know, there may be some in here this morning that have never experienced the plan of God. Maybe there's somebody online listening today that has never experienced what the plan of God means for them personally. God's plan is for you to find a home in Him. God's plan is to find a father in Him. God's plan is for you to be free from sin and accept the forgiveness of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's God's plan for you. And just as orphans, as all of us have been orphaned, all we have to do is just accept that plan and say, I love you, Heavenly Father. I will receive. I will receive your inheritance. So maybe you're in here today and you've never accepted the inheritance of God. I mean, you've never really thought about it, or you're listening online and you just never have said, wow, I've never heard of it this way before, but God loves me and He has a plan for me and He wants me to be in His family. It's a beautiful thing. I would encourage you today just to reach out to God and say, God, I accept the forgiveness of sin. I know that I've I've messed up. I know that I'm an orphan. I know that I've done wrong. Just accept the fact and just say, God, I'm sorry for the things that I've done. I'm sorry. I want to come back to the family. I no longer want to be an orphan. I need a family so bad. I want to be a part of your plan, God. Just simply pray that prayer. Something like that. God, I need you. Forgive me of my sin. I accept Jesus into my heart, into my life as my Lord, as my Savior. And I want to be a part of the family. I encourage you to do that today, right here, right now, right where you're at. If you're online, if you're sitting at home, I encourage you to just to kind of get rid of the distractions and just do it right there and just say, God, I accept you. I accept you. Thank you, Lord, for the plan. This, what we call in the church, the plan of salvation. I mean, that's a churchy word, churchy term, but Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for the plan of salvation. And that even before we were born, Lord, that you wanted us to be a part of your family. So, Heavenly Father, today, we give you our lives as orphans. And we say thank you. I pray for those of in here today and even online that has asked to be a part of the family. I ask God that you'd give them the boldness to come up to somebody, another person in the family, and just say, hey, I need help. I need help. I don't know where to go next, but I prayed that prayer. I prayed that prayer. I need help. I pray you just give those people encouragement today, Lord, that you would just give them that the willingness to say, I need more. I want more. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would just move in a mighty way. Just move in a mighty way, God, today. Church, we're going to sing about a beautiful thing called hope today. And so if you're a part of the family, I mean, if you've been adopted already, right? If you've accepted that adoption, I want you to sing this song with gladness, with joy, with thanksgiving. I don't want anybody moping. No moping. Because this is exciting, right? This is what we live for as Christians. To give our Father, the one who has adopted us, the one who has welcomed us in to his family. This is what we live for, to give him praise. So let's stand together and worship our Father.